Tell you, isn't it great to be in the house of the Lord? I am excited to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. While I enjoyed being on the Oregon coast, there's nothing like being with your church family. And so it's good to be back with you. How are you all feeling? It's been a couple weeks, so you know I kind of lose touch a few moments. I want to thank, first of all, the staff who did a great job of keeping things running ahead and smooth, and Pastor Jeremy for preaching, and the mission conference last week was just phenomenal. Thank you to the mission team. And I want to acknowledge the mission team. They put a lot of work and effort into that mission conference. And so let's show our appreciation to them, because it was tremendous. And in fact, the missionaries, many of them expressed to me that this is one of the highlights for them as far as mission conferences go. This was one of the best, and so we praise God for that. I also want to thank our office manager, Mac Vickers, who's been filling in while Kate has been dealing with the passing of her father, and I would appreciate you continuing to pray for her. But it's good to be back. Great to be back in the house of the Lord. This morning, I want to start off by telling you a story. How many of you have ever been on a, what do you call that, ATV? Is that what you call them? Any of you ever been on a contraption called an ATV before? You know, come on. Okay, how many of you know what an ATV is? Let me ask you that. Okay, I found out last summer. A friend of mine up at the Quest, he has a few ATVs. And when I heard the word ATV, I thought it was a television set, some kind of a new high-definition thing or something. And he asked me, he says, have you ever seen an ATV? And I thought, no, I've never, because I didn't know really what it was. And when he said all-terrain vehicle, I thought, oh yeah, I've seen those, you know, there's a lot of them in the Army. I've seen them in different naval bases and stuff. And he said, no. And he's describing these wonderful ATVs. You can go anywhere in an ATV, which is really kind of cool, almost anywhere. And so he said, you've traveled on one, haven't you? I said, no. He said, oh, what an experience for you. I'm going to take you out. We're going to go ATVing. And I looked at him and I said, wait a minute. I heard you're going ATVing. I didn't hear my name in the pot. He says, yeah, we're going to go. I want to take you out. This is going to be a new experience. You're going to experience something wonderful. Yeah, there's always experiences when you hear the word wonderful in it. I watched as he drove these contraptions out of his place, and he wanted me on one specific one, and I thought it was probably the one that went the slowest, but I was wrong. He said, how you keep up, he says, you push this button, and how you stop is, well, you can hopefully control it with this, and if not, push this, and if not, shift there, and if not, click this, and flick that, And I was, he's telling me all this, and he said, okay, let's go. And he jumps on his, and he says, now follow me. And off he goes. Well, I didn't really hear all the instructions. I mean, click that, flick this, do this. So I'm zipping along, and I'm keeping up. I knew which one was drive, and I knew which one. I paid careful attention to which was the abrupt stop, because I knew I would need that. And so along I'm going, and I'm driving along, and I'm doing pretty good. I'm feeling good about myself, watching him up ahead, and I'm pretty close. Well, then all of a sudden, he starts slowing down, and I realize, okay, now which one was the brake? I didn't hit him, though. Came close. And so he says, and this contraption, we've gone over hills and everything, mountains and whatever, you name it, and we've gone over this and climbed that and done this and over this and all along the way, and I'm thinking, this is supposed to be wonderful and fun. And we climbed to this area, and it's like kind of like a meadow almost. And he goes, okay, he says, now he slows it up, and there's the machines are still running. And I don't know if you've ever heard an ATV without a muffler, but it runs like this, loud. And I'm he's saying something to me. I can see his lips moving, okay? He's going, but all I can hear is, that's all I hear, and I'm shaking and vibrating. And he goes, okay, yells okay, and I go, yeah, I don't know what I've agreed to. So he's zipping along, and he's he's full throttle. He's zip going, and he goes around this corner, and I'm trying, you know, oh Lord, help me, Lord, you know, and I'm bumming on, and he zips around this corner, and I'm behind. I mean, I'm gone. I mean, he's gone. So I come around this corner, and he's not there. He is gone, and I'm going, what do I do, Lord? What do I do? Do I keep going on the gas, or do I put the brake on? Where is he? Lord, help me find him. I give this situation to you. Because I was in, you got to understand this, I was in full-blown panic. Because I could see what would happen. I would hit some pothole or mud hole or something, and I'd be there for days and wondering what's going on. And, you know, because I knew I couldn't handle this thing, this situation, this ATV. No sooner had I said that when all of a sudden from behind comes him, my friend, laughing away. Oh, and he stops beside me. I hid behind a bush. See, keep up. See? You see what happens? I don't know if you've been in a situation where you've been panicked, but I know I've been in many situations where I've been panicked. Open up your Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 5. And I'm going to read for you verses 6 to 8 of 1 Peter chapter 5. We've been walking through a series on prayer, and hopefully, I hope that as a church, you know that that I believe without any doubt that God has called his house a house of prayer. And so we need to be in prayer. We need to see this house, God's house, as the place where we come to him. This is a house of prayer. And so during this time of Lent, we have been walking through this series on prayer, and this morning we're looking at praying with panic. And let's read 1 Peter chapter 5, and I'm going to start at verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. May God add his blessing to his word this morning. Praying with panic begins, first of all, by humility. By humility. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand. Have you ever asked yourself, have you ever wondered, why isn't God working? What's going on? I'm praying and I'm believing. I'm standing firm in the faith, but it doesn't seem like God is doing anything. And then we start to panic instead of praying and trusting God. And we begin to question God. We say, God, why aren't you working in my life? Some of you may even be there this morning. God, I cannot handle this. I'm in full-blown panic. Now, I'm not sure if this is where the people of God were in the time of Peter the Apostle, but I do know that some spiritual battles were going on, and the people needed to be reminded, submit, surrender, humble yourselves to God. Now, there's a handful of reasons why you may feel like God isn't working, or why perhaps he's not working. See, are you humble enough to surrender to the mighty hand of God this morning? Because if you're trying to do God's job, then he will remain on standby until you give the project to him. Let me say, if you're trying to do God's job, in other words, if you're trying to be Holy Spirit Junior, I mean, really, if you're praying, God, change my kids, and then you're doing everything in your will to do whatever you can to change them, God will just have to stand back, and he'll just wait until you're done messing around so that you're frustrated and you're struggling, and then you're in full-blown panic. Because no matter what you're doing, it's not working, and then you wonder why God isn't working, and God isn't working because you are working. God says, humble yourselves. Did you know it's not easy being humble? pleasant. But the rewards are wonderful when we let go of our pride, when we let go of our pain, when we let go of our panic, and we humble ourselves. See, allowing pride to run unrestrained is just a precursor to being simply devoured by Satan. We can't let pride get in the way. You see, at the mission conference last weekend, just a tremendous. I just praise God for all those who were involved. It was so powerful for us as a church. But God clearly spoke through the various missionaries one thing. One thing. They could not do anything without God doing it. They couldn't do anything unless God did it. Carrie Strudem, she shared that the people of Sudan are coming to Christ themselves. They don't even need Christians to explain the gospel. They're doing it on their own. David Phillips from Turkey, he shared that God is speaking through visions, through dreams. And that's how the people are coming to Christ. Ray Thiessen, looking to Russia for his mission efforts, he shared how Christ led him at the age of five, a very early age, to be a missionary. Comrade Flett, he shared about about his need to continually submit to the Lord so that he does not become puffed up or prideful. Humility. Humility is most like godliness. Humility is meekness. It's an unassuming nature. It's poor, lowly. It's subservient. It's obliging. It's the opposite of arrogance. Did you know that there's no room in being a servant for arrogance? For knowing it all? One thing I've concluded in my life is that there's no way that I can know it all and still trust in God. Because trust is not knowing everything. See, pride, if it gets in the way, it gets in the way of our allowing God to look after our situations, and it's pride that prevents God from handling the panic in our life. And this is what God explains to us clearly in this passage. I'm going to read to you from the Amplified Bible. It says, therefore humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation, under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you, that he may lift you up. So critical to our life. Let me share the latter portion of this verse 5. It says, all of you, clothe yourselves with, you see the word? Humility toward one another. Because God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. If you're trying to do God's work, he will remain on standby until you're finished. He will. Humility is the release of your wants. It's the release of your pride. It's the release of your desires over to God. And in meekness, with an unassuming nature, you trust God with the situation you're in. You trust God with the project. You trust God with your circumstance. You trust God for your family. You trust God for your finances. You trust God for your church. You trust God. You pray with your panic when you're humble and willing to surrender your pride for the sake of the things of God. Make sense? Praying with panic begins by humility. But praying with pride begins also by casting. If you look at verse 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he, that is God, cares for you. The Bible says, cast your care on him and he will care for you. The prerequisite to God taking care of you in your problem is for you to cast all of your care. See, the Bible says all your concern, all your care, once and for all to him. because he cares for you. So the bottom line is, either you're going to do it, or God's going to do it, but you're not both going to look after things. Now, I know we think that the Bible says God helps those who help themselves, and I've told you that before, that the Bible doesn't say that. It's something that someone made up somewhere, and there are things for you to do, but you do what God tells you to do. You don't do what you want to, and then expect God to make it work. God is the author, and he's the finisher. He's not obligated to finish anything he didn't author. We don't make the plans and then expect God, okay, now bless this. We wait on God, get his plan. And in the strength of his spirit, we move ahead, being a channel, a messenger for him to flow through. But it's him doing it. It's not us. It just comes. You know? Have any of you here ever gotten sick before? Like to your stomach? Have you ever got sick to your stomach? Anybody? Okay, a few of you, the rest of you haven't experienced it yet. You will at some point in your life, especially if you eat out. You know, it will happen at some point. We need to be people. We need to be people who just vomit it all to God. I know what you're thinking. That sounds awful. It sounds gross. But we have to let it go. Say, God, take this stuff from me. I can't handle it anymore. I can't go with this. I'm in panic. You deal with it, Lord. You see, if God doesn't do it, it's not going to get done. Many of you are probably at the same place that I was at for years. I'm still working through this, and you're all tied up in knots, and it just isn't working. I mean, what happens when there's something that we want and it just doesn't look like it's going to happen? We start getting a little bit panicked, don't we? We get a little... Oh. How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, that kind of strange... We start acting strange when that happens. You know, oh, there's a promotion that's coming at the office, and I want to get that promotion. What am I going to do? Well, anyway, I'll go talk to the boss. I'll have him over for dinner. Yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll get friends with his real family. I'll get to know him really good. And I wonder who else in the process that I can talk to that really helped me get that promotion. And and we get kind of wild, don't we? We start kind of finagling around and conniving and manipulating. We try to make things happen, and we try to move things along faster than what we're supposed to move. And I don't like that feeling anymore. Because I lived like that for most of my life. Oh, God, I'm not interested in living like that. I want peace instead of panic. So when I feel myself getting like that, when I feel myself getting anxious, fretting, or worrying, some of you have taken that up as a hobby, worrying, I realize that's not a normal condition that God wants his people to be in. See, we're anxious and upset. It's not normal for a believer. Believers are supposed to be in the rest of God. Jesus called us. He said, come unto me, all you who are labored and heavy laden, and I will give you panic. No. I will make you anxious. No. I will give you, Jesus said. Excuse me? Rest. Some of you are there right now. Jesus wants us to rest. Believing brings us into rest. Not trying to do something that only God can do. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him, for he cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. I mean, have you ever noticed the latter portion of that verse? God affectionately cares for you and he watches you with care. God is not going to let you walk through anything that he has not already walked through. God is not going to let you go through something that he is not prepared for. God knows exactly where you are at this very moment in your life, and He knows exactly every hurt, every bit of pain, every portion of panic that you've felt, even be it today, yesterday, tomorrow, or next week. God can take care of that panic in your life. He can take that pain, He can take that anxiety, He can take that worry, He can take that concern, and once and for all, He can take that today for you. Are you willing to cast it upon Him? Because that will require humility. Are you willing to cast your panic upon Him? Stick with me today, because you're going to learn some great things, because I want you to be able to relax. I want you to enjoy your life. I want to enjoy my life. I got to tell you, as soon as I feel myself getting into that panic, I think, okay, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm not even going to start this. If this is God, then God will make it happen. So over and over, and I do this. I mean, I last night, I was awake. I was just laying. I said, God, I don't even want it if it's not from you. I don't want this panic if it's not from you. I don't want this problem. I don't want this situation. If it's not you, God, then close the door real tight. See, you need to pray if something is God, for God to open the door wide open so there's no doubt about it. And if it's not God, for Him to close that door tight so you can't kick it open, blow it open with dynamite. No way could you open that door if it's not God. Because we're pretty good at pushing those doors open that God is not opening. I've been through a few of those doors that I pushed open instead of God opening, and then I wondered why I was in a mess. I wondered why I was walking around with full-blown panic. I wasn't praying with panic. I was walking with panic. Have you ever walked with panic? You know. If God is not in it, there's going to be no blessing from Him to help you pull it off. And we wonder why we have problems all the time. You talk about a struggle, it will be a struggle. Go ahead and finagle around and get some promotion work God doesn't want you to have, and you'll see. You'll end up with more problems. You go ahead and finagle around, get some friends that God doesn't want you to have. I mean, you can buy friends by doing everything they want you to do, but you'll have to keep them the same way you bought them. Go ahead and just finagle around the system, and you'll find out real quick what problem, what struggling means. Sooner or later, you'll get tired of being a people pleaser, and there won't be any way out. I got you thinking now. Or sleeping, one of the two. You're somewhere. Either you're relaxed or you're confused, one of the two. I saw on TV this show called The Panic Room. Anybody ever? Do you want to admit you saw it? I don't know. It's great. You know, I like those kind of suspense films. There's a movie about a mother and daughter who purchase a home with an unusual secret room in which it was called the panic room. If something occurs in their house, providing security for them in the event they needed shelter from danger. Like, in this Hollywood portrayal of suspense, homes are being constructed with such a room. And a place where you can go if somebody breaks in or if something happens, you can run into this room, and it's an amazing room. The panic room is to be a safe haven in which people can remain until a rescue team or the police can come to help in the event of a crisis of some kind. The room is filled with bulletproof doors, with pick-proof and shock-proof locks, and the walls and the floor and the ceiling of the room can be filled with plywood, other various materials to help keep them up and intact if they were tempted to break through. You could even get a material that's placed in them to make it completely bulletproof. And this is happening, by the way. People are building these panic rooms in their homes. And any existing window can have a window glaze applied to it that would make the window bulletproof as well. And 24-hour battery packs are installed if the power is cut off. People go such great lengths to provide safety. You all, today, have access to such a room. Every person here has a panic room that is right here with us all the time. The Lord has called us each to have and maintain prayer. Prayer closet. We have a prayer room right in this church. Prayer. You all have a room where you can go to that is safe and secure when you talk to God, when you speak to Him. See, now you're wondering, maybe today you're wondering why things just aren't going right. Let me tell you something. When God puts something together, it always works right. What God gives, He maintains. It always works right. And when you pray and say, God, if you don't want me to have it, don't give it to me. This is what I think. This is the way I want things to turn out. But God, if it's not right, I don't want it. Praying with panic, you enter right back in to the rest of God. Praying with panic begins by humility. It also begins by casting, but it also begins by vigilance. Vigilance means watchfulness. It means attention. It means alert. It means aware. It's like a group of secretaries, true story. They had an office adjacent to the room where security temporarily holds the suspects, right? And one day, security officers were questioning a man when they were suddenly called away in another emergency. And to the horror of the secretaries, the man was left alone in this unlocked room. And after a few minutes, the door opened, and he began to just walk out. And one of the secretaries, she began to panic. And she got up. She was watchful. She was alert. She paid attention. She was aware. And she said, you get back in there, and don't you come out until you're told. And the man, he just scuttled back and he closed the door. He was real quick. He was just, oh. True story. The security people returned. The woman reported what happened. And without a word, an officer walked into that room. And he released one very frightened telephone repairman. True story. But I'll tell you, when we're in panic mode, we're just... We get ourselves so absorbed in us that we neglect that we need to be just praying. We need to be on our knees. We need to be asking God what's happening around us. Every time you feel anxious, every time you start feeling worry coming on, every time you start feeling, I got to find a way out. What can I do? What can I do? What can I do? Like the devil sits and whispers in here. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Tell you nothing, Jesus said. The truth, when I say it's profitable, it's good, it's expedient, it's advantageous for you, Jesus said, that I go away, because if I do not go away, the counselor. And the Amplified says counselor. It says the counselor, comforter, helper, advocate, intercessor, strengthener, standby. Will come to you into close fellowship with you. But Jesus went on, he said, but if I go away, I will send him to you to be in close fellowship with you. The Phillips, our missionaries from Turkey, this past week were quite concerned about their flights from Saskatoon. And David shared that there are times when he gets just panicked, and this was one such time. It was great because I was told him I'm preaching about panic and I can use you as an illustration. He thought for certain that that they were on standby for their flight home. I mean, he was concerned. He was panicking. And he kept saying, we're just only on standby. We're only on standby. Everything worked out great. Their flights and everything. Have you ever been on standby to get on an airplane? Have you? Okay. You go and you just wait, and the first available seat, you get on. But if there's no available seat, you don't get on. You keep waiting and waiting and waiting. You know what? until we open a place for the Holy Spirit to work, he just has to be on standby. So if you wonder sometimes why the Holy Spirit's not working in your life, it's probably because you're trying to do his job, and he will remain on standby until you back off, take your hands off, and give it all to him. Stock, lock, and barrel. Praise God, he's willing to do that for us. But if you notice, when you cast your cares, as the scripture plainly points out, when you cast your cares upon him, because he cares for you, what happens next is that the enemy will attack. So you must be self-controlled and alert, because your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him, because when you cast your care on the Lord, it upsets the enemy deeply. I am telling you all this today because I just want you to relax. Sometimes we try to relax our body when really we just need to relax our soul. It's the inner man that needs to relax. We just need to loosen up inside, not be so tense. Is there anybody here today? And I'm just asking you, don't show your hands. Maybe there's some areas where you just have a tight grip and you just need to let go. You just need to let it go. And the Holy Spirit won't interfere in our lives without an invitation. The Bible says, you have not because you ask not. This morning, I'm going to give, I would be amiss if I did not give you opportunity for you to speak, to ask God, to speak to God about your panic. What's causing you fright, what's terrifying you, what you're dreading, what is alarming in your life, just to release to him. So I'm going to ask you, bow your heads and close your eyes. And you can talk to God today, and you can say, God, in humility, you can come to him and say, God, I humble myself before you. I release to you. I cast my cares on you. I give to you, Lord. I give to you what is troubling, what is hurting me, what is causing me pain, what's causing me panic, what's causing me grief. Lord, sometimes I get so wild. I can't be that way anymore. Maybe you need to surrender to him your family. Maybe you need to surrender to him your finances. Maybe you need to surrender to him your job. Maybe you need to surrender to him your home life or your personal life. But surrender to him. Maybe you need to surrender to him your spiritual life, because you're in panic about it. Surrender to him today. I'm going to ask, if you're talking to God that way today, while every head is bowed and every eye is closed, if you're saying, Lord, I don't want you to be on standby anymore. I give you my anxiety. I give you the concerns of my heart. I give it to you, Lord. I cast all my cares upon you. I surrender them to you. And ask, Lord, for you to work. Not me, because I'm too tired now. I've struggled too often. I'm too frustrated. I ask, Lord, for you to work. I hand it to you. And I'm not going to question how you're doing it, but I give it to you. If you're crying out to God in that way today, I'm going to make this difficult, because I want you to be underlined in the commitment of what you're doing. I just want you to stand up where you're seated. Every head is bowed, every eye is closed. Just stand up before the Lord. Just stand up if you're saying, Lord, I'm doing that today. I'm giving up my panic. I can't do this. I'm giving this over to you. Because, God, I can't. I can't do this. Only you can. I'm giving this to you today. I'm giving you my hurt, my pain. I'm giving you my struggles. I'm giving you my spouse. God, I'm giving this situation to you. I'm giving these circumstances to you. God, I'm doing that today. I'm trusting you, God. And remember, trust is not knowing everything. Trusting you, Father. You need to know this morning, I'm standing. I'm standing before the Lord. And I'm releasing my panic to him. As your pastor, I'm doing that today. Just stand before him if you're making that commitment. If you're saying, Lord, I'm surrendering it. I'm giving my panic to you. I'm not going to do this anymore, Lord. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to finagle around. I'm not going to do this anymore. Let's all stand with our eyes closed and our heads bowed. Father God, we stand as your people today, knowing, Lord, that we cannot in no way do anything without you. And God, sometimes we think we can. Sometimes, Lord, we get so caught up in all the little details and all the things that we think need to happen. We just don't hear sometimes what you're saying to us. And so, Lord, we stand today as your people. And we proclaim right now that you are our first love. We don't love anything else but you. And as a church, Lord, as a body of Christ, our desire is to be obedient all the way, 100% to you. Because you know far better how to work out every situation better than we do. Lord, may we not be in panic anymore. Lord, we release our panic to you. Lord, deal with that. I pray this all to your glory and to your honor in Jesus Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. You can be seated.